Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist-composer Rio Clemente. He's a musician with great imaginative ideas and versatility. Nicknamed the Bishop of Jazz, his fans love his superb improvisation, as do I. Rio, how are you?
I'm very fine.
Haven't
we finally
seen you
got
in an
together.
Age. I know. Finally got together after all these years.
We've known each other a long time.
I know we have.
Played a lot of the same places together.
And the same people, like the agent we both had, Max Cavalli.
Yeah.
He was such a fan of yours.
Yeah, I love Max. I'm sorry to hear that he passed.
Yeah, what a character he was.
Oh, he definitely. Oh. Cut you off in a second.
Oh, it's funny.
Never said goodbye.
Frank Tate and I still do that. You know Frank Tate, the bass player?
Yes.
And when we
talk with Frank,
we end our conversations by saying, Max Cavalli, and then we hang up.
You know? That's very
good.
Because
he used to do that. You know, he would just end the conversation, never said goodbye or
that's
anything.
I know. I always took it personally. I said, gee, I guess he doesn't like me too much.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's what we always do. Max Cavalli. And we hang up.
He's a wonderful agent.
So what have you been doing lately? I haven't been on.
Well, I've been doing a lot of concert work. I've been sort of concentrating on Gershwin and Richard Rodgers. I've been doing, I just recently did a concert of Richard Rodgers. And also Gershwin, the Gershwin concert I did at the Friars Club, which was really wonderful.
I can imagine. That's a great place to play.
And we did the Algonquin and Birdland.
Well, you're just very busy. That's
and, of course,
great.
We play Shanghai Jazz, like you do. You know,
that's
a wonderful
a
place to play.
That's fun to play in there. Yeah. How often do you find a club owner who will lose two tables so he can put in a grand piano?
Right.
I thought that was a nice touch. Well, anyway, I'm dying to hear you play. It's been too long, so why don't you play a tune and I will
Well, I'd like to play one of my originals. It's called Allegria. It's kind of a Latin-type tune, and I hope you like it.
I know I will. It's a good tune. Just the way you put it together, it really seems like it needs a lyric, like that opening phrase. I could almost write one, but I'd better not.
Well, go ahead.
No, I'm not good at that. But that's a good tune, and you'll do that with your trio.
I do it with the trio, and it gets the people moving. I tell them it's an original tune. I said, if you like it, I wrote it. If you don't, someone else wrote it. I usually, I'll just mention a name, maybe the bass player or the drummer, whatever.
It's funny. I actually did that years ago at the Hickory House. I was too kind of unsure that the tune I wrote was any good, and so I said Walter Bishop wrote it. Somebody said, oh, that's really a lovely tune. Then I decided it was okay for me to say I wrote it.
Well, sure.
I guess it's
interesting, though, to see the reaction because of a tune that they'd never heard before. And so far it's been very favorable,
A tune like that, it's very simple. It's got a very basic good melody. I mean, it almost sounds like something that you've heard, but not really. But it's got good movement, everything. Tell me, were you a child prodigy, or were you an only child? Or tell me about
I had a sister that kind of played by ear, but she didn't have the talent that I have, you know, that I was born with. But I used to sit there and listen to her when she was taking piano lessons. And when the teacher would leave, I'd get on the piano and I'd say, this is the way it's supposed to go, because she used to get so mad at me.
At age what? How old were you then?
About 8 years old.
A cheeky little...
Just before I started taking lessons. But I was playing since I was 3 and a half. So
I can imagine. Your sister played and you just jumped up and...
Yeah.
Tried. It's good to have somebody to get you started, because my mother used to play Chopin quite well, and that's what got me started. I just thought I'd like to try and do that, and, you know, got up on the
But my mom
bench.
And dad never played. They didn't play anything. I mean, they had an appreciation for music, but as far as sitting down and playing the piano, they didn't have that. And the piano came into the home. It was really freaky, because my dad had a milk business, and I used to be on the truck with him, you know, since I was a little boy. And one day he was driving by and he saw a piano on the side of the curb.
Throwing out a piano?
And someone was throwing it out. So he stopped the truck rather, and said to the lady, she was out there hanging clothes, and said, what are you going to do with that piano? He said, well, my husband's coming home, chop it up. So my father said, can I have it? He said, sure. And that's how the piano got into the house. So it was like destiny. It was meant to be.
I guess it needed a little work, or did it?
Well, it did, but I was happy with it. And who knows? I've often thought about the fact that if I had the talent, would I have gravitated to someone else's piano as opposed to having the one in the house? But of course, I'll never know that answer.
You'll never know. Be happy with the talent you have, and I'm sure
am. I am. I give God all the credit, because that's where it came from.
Well, that's true enough. And God is going to like your Spruegel's Blues, which you're going to play for me.
Well, I hope so.
At least I hope you're going to play that for me.
Yeah, I'll play Spruegel's Blues for you.
Good. Oh, you really have a feel for not only good tunes, but good titles.
I find that's the hardest thing, is to come up with a title for the song. And a friend of mine told me that it was a happy song. And Allegria in Latin, of course, it means happy, and also in Italian. So that one was easy. Spruegel's Blues, it's very strange, because I was playing in Antigua, and I was driving out in the country, and I saw this sign, Spruegel's Gas Station. And the name just hit me. I said, gee, I should write a song with that title, using Spruegel's. And that's how that came to being.
It's funny. I usually sort of get the title first and then write the song around the title. I don't know. Either way, it works out.
Yeah.
So who were... some of your influences? I mean, who were you influenced by when you were a kid?
Well, originally, I would say Art Tatum, Oscar Peterson, you, of course. I mean, I've always loved your playing. I'm not just, you know, saying that, but I've always loved your playing. And Peter Nero, Andre Previn, George Shearing. There's a slew of them.
All
because
those
you learn
romantic
Bats Waller,
people. Yeah.
Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
they all had something different to offer.
I loved Duke when I was still living in England and a teenager. I had a boyfriend who used to bring Duke records over to the house. Well, anybody's records. That's how I got really listening to jazz. He'd bring all these records, and I just got hooked immediately.
And of course, Jimmy just kind of capped it all, right?
Well, Jimmy did so much for me, and I loved playing all those tunes. Actually, once in a while, we'll do like a tribute to Jimmy with all the guys that used to play with him. Mm-hmm. And I love playing those tunes, Royal Garden Blues, Basin Street, all those things. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's almost like in the cycle is it, when you're going to play jazz. You just don't start playing jazz. You have to listen. I always tell my students that. I said, you have to listen. Listening is so important.
That and to listen to what went before. You can't
exactly
just
right.
start with Coltrane.
Mm-hmm. No, that's for sure.
And
it's
some
like when I first
do.
Heard Stravinsky. First heard Stravinsky, I said, oh, my God. Well, I didn't really have a comprehension of what was happening. And, of course, as I grew and I got to listen more and more, and I understand it now.
Yeah, me too. I remember when I first heard Giant Steps, I couldn't make head or tail of that. Or even before that, when I was in Paris listening to Dizzy, and I guess it was Al Haig or somebody on piano, I hadn't the faintest idea what they were doing. I asked the silliest questions, but... You know, then suddenly it all becomes clear.
Well, I had a friend, Bob Miller, who's a wonderful musician, plays alto and tenor. And he would come into wherever I was playing, he would come to see me and sit in with me. And he always would say, let's play Giant Steps. he played with Claude Thornhill and Charlie Barnett, so and he was a wonderful player. And, of course, I didn't know Giant Steps. So I said, well, he kept it. Every time I saw him, let's do Giant Steps.
What did
and
you
and
say?
Then he'd laugh. And I said, well, I don't know. And I just look at him and laugh back. So I figured, I'm going to get back at him. So I learned Giant Steps. So he came in one day, and he said, let's do Giant Steps. I said, okay, let's do it. I said, only instead of doing it in three, let's do it in 5/4 time. Well, it blew him away.
It would blow me away. Boy, I'd have a hard time playing it in regular time. Boy.
Well, because you don't have time to think. You just have to know it.
That's true. Well, we haven't done a duet, and I'm dying to do one. What should we do?
Oh, I have, too. I've been thinking about this for 2 months.
Really?
Well, absolutely.
What have you come up with?
All the Things You Are.
All right.
How about if I start at rubato? I have a little fun with it. Instead of playing the first chord, what I do is I raise it a half step. So I'll do that rubato, and then we can swing with it. How's that?
As long as you're doing it and I don't have to.
Okay.
That's fine. I'll listen to. And then you'll set the tempo.
Jerome, forgive me.
Here goes.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. You may enjoy another of our productions, Song Travels with Michael Feinstein. Check out the podcast. Subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.